Welcome to the Harbor Fellowship Church Podcast.
In 1990, there was a small group of high school students, and they gathered together for a weekend to pray and to seek God. And as they were together on that weekend, their hearts began to break just before God, realizing their own great need for Him. And as their hearts were breaking before God, they also became burdened for their schools that they represented. And so those students, as they were praying there in the night, decided they would go to the three individual high schools that their schools represented and go and pray at their schools for God to work on their school campuses. And as they arrived at the first one, they think, oh, where are we going to pray? And because this is Texas in America, every school's got a flagpole. And so they gathered at their flagpole, and they prayed for God to work there on their campus. And they went to the next school and the next school and did the same. And as they shared that story and that experience with others, they found that there in their state, other people had the desire for the same thing, that God would work on their campus. And so it began to spread and to ring out. And so that next September, many students gathered at different schools, all agreeing, let's go on the same day in September and pray that God might work on our campuses. And that act led to it to ripple out more and more. And now, if that started in 1990, still today, what is called See You at the Pole still exists. Students still gathering on their campuses in the morning around the flagpole to pray for God's work. Their website says over 1 million students in 64 different countries will participate this year. Now, the reason I share that story is because I was remembering over the last couple of weeks when I was back in high school and invited to come to the flagpole on a September morning to pray for my school. And I remember going to that. I don't remember what I did, if I led anything, even if I prayed. But I remember showing up there. And as I was thinking about that, when I was in high school, I'm a morning person now, but in high school, I was far from a morning person. So I sort of thought I had to get up much earlier than I normally would and drive to school and meet at the flagpole and did that. And as I was trying to think back on that, I thought, why did I do that? What compelled me to go and join in on that? Well, I think someone had told me it was something bigger than just our school. It was people all over North America, that it was something a little bit bigger than myself. And I think what was in my heart on that day, even though my faith was young and immature, I wanted to live for Jesus. I wanted an opportunity to do something for Jesus. I wanted my life to matter. I wanted to be a part of something that God was doing, and I knew that had to be bigger than myself. So I thought, let me just go and pray and be a part of that. And as I sort of analyzed my heart back then, even in my young faith, trying to figure out the gospel and Christianity, even as I compare that to where I'm at today, I still feel the same way. I still want to be a part of what God is doing. I want to join with others. I want to be a part of something bigger than myself and join in on that. I want to see God do something greater than I could ever do myself. And so it's with that heart that we come to this Sunday, Ecclesia Sunday. As you've already heard, ecclesia is the Greek word for gathering. It gets translated in the New Testament church. But the idea of ecclesia is not the building, it's the gathering of people that God brings together, a people set apart, a people called into a specific mission and into a specific heart. And that's why we call this day Ecclesia Sunday. It's our way of reminding ourselves we want to be the church. We want to know what the Bible says about being the ecclesia, and we want to live that out as a church. If we want to join in what God is doing and being a part of that, that's through His ecclesia, His gathering of people. And so that's our heart on this day. God, what do you say about your ecclesia, and how can we live that out together? And we specifically, over this last couple of weeks, have been looking at one church, the church that we'd hear the story of in the book of Thessalonians. And this church, we will see today, was a model church. They were known as a model, and this is a church where the gospel rang out from them, as you've already heard today. And so our heart this morning, my heart, is to look in on this church and say, how did that happen? How did the gospel ring out? How did they have such impact and influence? What were they actually modeling, and what can we learn from them? And so that's my heart for today, to look at this church and say, God, I want to be part of something bigger than myself. I want to live my life for Jesus Christ. I don't want to waste it. I want to see you work in and through us together, and what can we learn from this church? I think as we look in, it's going to surprise you. It's going to challenge you potentially, and hopefully it will encourage us all of how we can be the sort of church, the kind of ecclesia where our faith might ring out from here. So let me invite you, if you haven't already, turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, you might have to use the index if you're new to this and cheat. It's all the way near the end at the back of the New Testament, and we're going to be in chapter 1 again. As you're finding that, let me just introduce myself. My name is Jeff Bennett. Privileged to be the lead pastor here. If this is your first Sunday, just a special welcome to you. Would love to meet you at the door afterwards and just get to know you a little bit. Harbor Online, welcome to you. Praying for you this morning that you'd be strengthened and encouraged as you watch. And then also let me welcome the people maybe on the Kaleo app. We now have almost live translation in Spanish, Portuguese, Mandarin, and Tigrenya. And so if you see people with headphones in, they're not listening to music, they're actually listening to me being translated live. And so welcome to you if you're listening to that. What I want to do here in a moment is read these scriptures. But if you look down in your Bibles, you'll see in verse 5, Paul says this, "The gospel came to this church." The gospel came. And that's what we've been talking about thus far. Paul, Silas, and Timothy bring the gospel to this church. Then if you look down in verse 8, and you could circle that word, he says the gospel rings out. The gospel goes forward, and we'll talk about that. So you've got the gospel coming, and you've got the gospel ringing out. Those two, both sides of things. But yet, what we want to look at first here this morning is what happened in the middle. What happened before the gospel rang out? What happened after they heard the gospel? What's the middle portion? And that's what you'll hear in these verses. We're going to hear what kind of church they were. And that's where we want to model ourselves. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Let me read these together now. "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it." This is God's word. Just join with me in a word of prayer. God, we come and we see this church. That was a model where the gospel rang out. And oh God, that is our heart. God, that the gospel might ring out from our church as well. So God, as we would look to these words, may you help us, God. We come as a church in weakness. I come in weakness. But God, thank you, Lord, that in our weakness, that you are strong, that your grace is sufficient. And so be that for me today. God, be that for us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. So as you're looking there, if you're underlining sort of Paul's thought, you could circle the word came. That's what he said first. You could circle the word ring out. But the middle word, which you see there in verse 6, which happened in between those two, is they welcomed the gospel. So the gospel came, they welcomed it, and then it rang out. The order is important. And the word welcomed is important. It's not like they had a brief conversation with the gospel, said hi and moved on. It's the idea of welcoming. They loved the gospel. They received it. They accepted it. They embraced it. In Luke 10, we read that it says, if someone welcomes you, then eat what is offered to you. The idea of welcoming and hospitality go together. It's the same word. And so here it's the sense of they were hospitable towards the gospel. They embraced it fully. So here's the journey we see. The gospel came to them, the gospel worked in them, and the gospel went out from them. And so we this morning, as we think about being the ecclesia that God has for us, what does it mean to welcome the gospel? And so here's my title. Here's sort of the overview of what I want to do in the first half of my time today. Just answer this question. What a model church looks like when they welcome the gospel. That's what Paul says of this church. You were a model. He doesn't say this about, I don't think, any other church in the New Testament. They were a model church, and they're welcoming the gospel. So what does that actually look like? What was their gathering like? What kind of people were they? So I want to spend the first half of my time just answering that question. And then as we work through that, then I want to spend the second half of my time just looking at how the gospel rings out, how it rings out from us in different ways this year. So look down with me there in verse 6. First, what does a model church look like when they welcome the gospel? Here's what Paul wrote. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. So Paul is saying that we, when we came, talking about himself, we were full of character. We were faithful. We were credible witnesses. You saw integrity. You saw good character in us. And Paul's saying, we looked a little bit like Jesus. And this group of people, as they looked in, then said, we want to be like you, Paul, because you're being like Jesus. They became imitators of Paul. They'd never met Jesus, but they knew Paul, and they knew that he looked like Jesus. So we want to be imitators of you, Paul, as you are an imitator of Jesus Christ himself. Now, certainly this would be in some ways just sharing the gospel. That's what it would have meant specifically. But much more broadly than that, they welcomed the gospel by being people of character. They welcomed the gospel by being people that looked like Jesus Christ. And so here's how I summarized it. What does a model church look like when they welcome the gospel? They walk like Jesus. They walk like Jesus. Paul's saying, you looked a little bit like Jesus. You lived out your faith in real and practical ways by being imitators of him. When I was a kid, grew up just south of Barrie in a little town called Thornton, and my father was a hobby farmer. I don't think those two words really go together, but that was his heart, hobby farmer. And so at times we would have a lot of cows or a lot of horses, big manure pile out behind the barn, you know how that goes. And so I remember as a little kid, my father had these big rubber boots, you know, that he'd stuff his pants into and get in these big rubber boots and go out there to do whatever he was going to do at the manure pile. And enough said there. And then when he'd come back home, he'd take off those boots and leave them outside the front door because they weren't allowed in the house. Me, as a little kid, I'd see those big boots out there, and I could go out in my running shoes and in my clothes, and I could get right inside of them. You know, they'd come up almost, you know, they'd come up here almost so high. And I remember as a little kid just putting those boots on and walking around like my dad. Right? I just want to be like my dad. I just want to fill up those shoes and walk like him. I think a lot of boys do that, want to be like their fathers. But what's happening here is we see this church saying, we want to put on the shoes of Jesus. We just want to walk like him. We want to be like him. We want to live our lives the way so it looks like him. We want to walk in his footsteps. You can see why this was a model church. You can see why Paul compliments them, because you're showing up there on Sunday and he's saying there's a whole lot of people that are walking like Jesus. They're loving, they're kind, they're caring, they're generous, they're humble, they're patient, they're compassionate. That's the picture that Paul is giving us of a whole lot of people in this church that just are trying to walk like Jesus. You can see why the gospel rang out from them because of their character and their heart. So that's the first thing he says. What does a church look like that welcomes the gospel? They just walk like Jesus. But then there's a second thing. Lest you think everything was rosy when they were imitating Jesus, look down to the second portion. It says this: they became imitators in the midst of severe suffering. So not everything's rosy for this church. They're facing hostility, opposition, open persecution. And Paul is giving us a realistic picture of when the gospel comes and you welcome the gospel, there's the potential for severe suffering. Paul's never making this out to be easy in life. Just imagine a reporter going to interview Paul about his journeys and what he's trying to do there in this city, in Thessalonica. And you imagine a reporter asked him, so Paul, what have you been up to traveling the world from city to city? And he would say this, I go from city to city. I tell people the good news about Jesus Christ. God does a work. He opens people's eyes. They see the value of Christ. They see that their sins can be forgiven. They can have power to change. They can have hope for the future. And people are transformed. And I form them into communities called little ecclesias, little gatherings. And they begin to live out their faith together. And then I go on to the next city. And the reporter would say, wow, that sounds amazing. I've never heard anything like this before. Never heard of Jesus. And then they might ask this, well, how's it going for those churches? How's it going? And Paul would say, well, up and down. But he'd say, here's one thing they almost all have in common. They're all facing hostility, opposition, and persecution. He would say people in those churches have lost their jobs, their homes, their friends, their family, their status, and some have lost their lives. And you could almost hear the reporter say, and you want to do that here? You think people will sign up for that here? And Paul would say, that's exactly what will happen. As people hear the good news of Jesus, it will be better for them than any sort of suffering. And that's what was happening in this church in Thessalonica. Here's the way I describe the second thing they did. They weathered the storms of suffering. They weathered the storms. And seems like as we get to the next point, they did it well. Not only were they walking like Jesus, but in the midst of the suffering that their commitment to the gospel had brought on them, they stayed faithful. In a couple of other smaller settings, I've shared about a friend of mine who is in a Muslim country and has begun to seek after Jesus Christ. Previously, I shared that someone had saw him reading a Bible at work and threatened him. And I'd asked us to pray for him as he continued on his journey. And I know some of you have been doing that, as I have. This week, I got another message from my friend through his family, and he said it was okay that I share this so we could be praying for him and be encouraged. But he got another threatening note at work. Here's what the note said. Before it's too late, give up on your beliefs or you will lose your head. Fairly clear. Here's his response to that. He says, I'm just learning about Christianity, and I didn't even convert yet. But even this made that evil person want to harm me and my family. And then here's his conclusion. There must be something in these beliefs that make that evil person so worried and threatened. Do you hear his logic? Right? There's persecution coming in. And so therefore, this must be true. This must be true. And I'm going to keep seeking to find out and pursue after God. Isn't it amazing how God works? The enemy sends that persecution to discourage him, to stop him from seeking Christ. But God says, no, I'm going to send persecution, and it will strengthen his faith and his resolve to pursue after Jesus. That's what was happening in this church in Thessalonica. Right? They were weathering the storms of suffering, and it wasn't destroying their faith. It was making their faith stronger. That's how they weathered those storms. So they walked like Jesus. They endured through the different sufferings that had come their way. And then look down. Here's how they did it. The third idea, with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. The joy given by the Holy Spirit. This is sort of the substance, the internal quality of what's happening in their lives. And here's what this verse is teaching us. That God has designed our spiritual lives in such a way that in the midst of suffering, when we draw close to Christ, there is joy available. It doesn't mean that we never grieve. It doesn't mean that we don't walk in spiritual shadows at times. It doesn't mean that there aren't days where it's really hard to get out of bed. But over time, what God is telling us here is there is access to a joy in the midst of pain, where we can receive perspective and peace and hope that brings joy into our hearts. And this church was marked for that. You show up there on a Sunday morning and they're suffering, but they're full of joy. Here's how I summarized it. Here's the third idea. They worshiped with Holy Spirit joy. Right, you might think you'd come into the church and everyone would be downtrodden, everyone discouraged. But this is saying that they had a joy that was notable. You can see why they became a model church. Two quotes that help me understand this. You'll see them on the screen. Richard Baxter said it this way, Christ leads me through no darker rooms than he went through before. And so if we're going to be imitators of Christ, it means suffering comes. He leads us in those areas. And as we know that, that's part of the foundation that leads to joy. And then Charles Spurgeon, I think I've used this quote before, but I so appreciate it. I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. Saying, I've learned that in the midst of my suffering and pain and the waves of life, it throws me to Christ, and that's where my life and joy is. There, in the midst of suffering, you know, you've got choices. Do I keep my eyes on the world? Do I keep my eyes on what I'm losing? But this church, they kept their eyes on the beauty and glory of Christ and all they had in him. And Paul says they worshiped with Holy Spirit joy. So that's the third thing of what a model church looks like. And the last one, so they walked, they weathered, they worshiped, and the last one, the one we've already talked about this morning, the Lord's message rang out from you. And the word rang out means sounded forth. It means shouted out. It means they talked about it wherever they went. They weren't ashamed of the gospel. They didn't keep it quiet. It was no secret. They let this truth ring out from them wherever they could tell it. And so here's the way I describe this fourth character quality. They were a witness to the truth of the gospel. It says the Lord's message rang out from them. Acts 1:8, Jesus says to us, you will be my witnesses. And then he gives some ringing out concentric circles there. A witness is someone who just merely reports the truth. This is what happened, and we're telling you these truths. And that's what this church did so well. They had no thought that they would keep this to themselves, even if it was costing them. They said, we've got to get this message out. We've got to share this. Organized way, personal ways. In fact, the early church says it this way. They gossiped the gospel wherever they went. I love that phrase. They just gossiped the gospel. They just couldn't help but talk about it. So those are the four qualities of this church. How did they welcome the gospel? It was a character thing. They walked like Jesus. It was in the midst of suffering they weathered those storms. It was in this worship heart that we're going to exalt Christ no matter what. And it was a commitment to be a witness to him, to share that truth. And look what happened to this church. You can read in the next section. The gospel rang out in Macedonia, in Achaia, and then we get the wonderful sense that it has become known everywhere. And think of that today. We're still talking about this church. This verse, in some ways, is still coming true because their faith and their welcome of the gospel is still ringing out into our church and encouraging us. And so, Harbor, that's the kind of church that we want to model. That's the kind of church we want to be like. And as we think of the gospel coming to us, we want to welcome the gospel fully. And then, by God's grace, may the gospel ring out from us. But what we focus on is the welcome of the gospel. But let me just spend a couple of moments and just show how we are praying this year, all of us together, what God might want to do through us, what he want to be a part of. I'm going to work through those six concentric circles, but then Tuesday night, members, our business meeting, all the staff will work through all of those areas. So much great plan this year as we trust the gospel will ring out from us. Anyone is welcome to be here Tuesday night for that business meeting time. But first, let me remind you of our vision. We have it on the wall here that we want to glorify God. But how specifically do we want to glorify God? Well, we want to glorify him by being a church that shares the gospel, makes disciples, starts churches, and multiplies leaders. And as we look in Scripture and say, what is the ecclesia? What is the gathering that Jesus founded? It is these things. These are the priorities he has given his church to live out these things in the ecclesia, in the gathering. And so how might we see this vision play out this year? Let me start with the world and then work in to our lives. The first, in our world, where are we praying the gospel would ring out from Harbor this year in our world? Well, in three places, in Guinea, in Spain, and in a new partner in the Middle East. All of our global partners share the same heart, same vision, operate by the same pathway, and use many of the same tools. So we're joining with people that are doing exactly what we're doing. That creates so many great synergies that we can work together and learn from each other. There'll be a team in Guinea in January coaching and raising up leaders, and our partners in Guinea, they're praying this year that the gospel might ring out and there might be 14 new churches started in their six regions that we're ministering in. Just think of that, Harbor. Because of our prayers and our giving and our support this year, there might be 14 new churches. If God was to do all they've asked, 14 new churches there in Guinea, one of the poorest and one of the least reached countries in sub-Saharan Africa. And we're praying that that's how the gospel might ring out, in the same way in Spain and the same way in the Middle East. More to come on that in the future. But let me just then move into the next circle. If that's what we're praying for our world, then we're also praying and trusting that from Harbor, the gospel might ring out in our country. You saw the video, the 10-2 network. 10-2 network is from Luke 10-2. And Luke 10-2 starts with these words, "The harvest is plentiful." And so we wanted to bring together a network of churches that believe the harvest is plentiful and pray and long that we might see a plentiful harvest across Canada. As you saw, Harbor has been in the lead of that network, but now Harbor is decreasing our role so that the network might all join together. And we're trusting more and more churches will want to join that network. Here's our heart for this year, what we're praying towards, that in the harvest would be happening in 5 provinces. We're about 3.5 right now. But here's what we know within the harvest, is that when we get people out in the harvest, it's like the engine that drives everything else. When we get people sharing the gospel, they get a heart for making disciples, and then God, more disciples come and churches get started. So we're praying that as we might do that, that we might see that happening in 5 churches. You can follow along on our social media on the 10-2 network. And even Harbor, as we've just done the 24 hours in the harvest, that testimony rings out across Canada to our partner churches and encourages them. We're also praying that somewhere outside of Niagara there might be a church start. We've not yet seen that. We've seen that here in Niagara, but we're praying as the gospel is shared and disciples are made that we might see our first 10-2 network church started. And then our 4 fields training, which we'll do again here in May, Lord willing, BC, Montreal this year as we seek to just train and raise up more leaders. That's what we're trusting God from Harbor. That's how we're trusting how the gospel might ring out across our country. And then down to our region, the Niagara region, if there's 400,000 people in Niagara that are far from God, that means that if we today were to plant 40 new churches and every church had 100 new disciples in it, that would be 4,000 new disciples. That would be a good day today. And that would reach 1% of people in Niagara that are far from God. So you see how much opportunity there is to share the gospel, make disciples, and see new churches start. And so we're praying for 3 things here in our region, both with Harbor and with our partner churches, that we might see new growth. We've talked about, you've heard what's happening in Port Dalhousie, what's happening in Dorchester, Mandarin Restaurant area, what's happening in Thorold, what's happening in Smithville. Little groups of people coming together saying, God, might you bring new disciples our way, and might we see this grow, and might it even be a church start? Well, we're praying that in those gatherings, there would be new growth this year. And then we're praying for new places. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see the gospel ring out from Harbor into Niagara Falls and to begin a group that could lead to a church there? Wouldn't it be wonderful to see the gospel ring out in Font Hill? To see a group gather there and the gospel ring out. And even as I say those things, some of you are aware that God is already answering those prayers in one of those places. And then lastly, praying for another new leader. Again, the harvest is plentiful, Luke 10 says, but the laborers are few. And even as I prayed that this week, I thought, God, thank you for the wonderful leaders you have continued to send us. Some raised up from within, some come from the outside, and thank you for the church starts you've given us. But God, we pray, Lord, there might be another leader who might join us this year and might maybe combine with those other 2 ones to see how the gospel might go forward and we might see more churches started. So that's our world, that's our country, that's our region. Some of that done through the 10-2 network, some of that done through us. But then down to the 4th circle, our city. How do we want the gospel to ring out from Harbor in our city? Well, as you came in today, or as you leave, on your right by the office, you'll see a new map that we've put up there. It's a map of the city of St. Catharines. And it's our heart this year that as we go out into the harvest, that we might hit as many streets as we can. Wouldn't it be great if we could get to every street in St. Catharines? We're going to try to mark them off somehow with a highlighter or something as we go to different neighborhoods so you can track the progress each Sunday. We know that in order to do that, we'll need more silent partners to join us, but we're praying that as a church, we might get to every street, every neighborhood to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And then you see what we're praying, 25 new disciples, 5 baptisms, 2 new groups. God, may the gospel ring out in our city here from Harbor as we seek to share it. So that's our city. And let me move one more circle in. You've already met, and I'm so grateful for the so many great group leaders that you saw on the stage. I just look in and so thankful for them and their commitment to group ministry. And you can see there on the slide our heart for groups this year. If the gospel is going to ring out in our lives, in our church, it rings out in group life. If you're this morning being here saying, I want to be someone that welcomes the gospel, how do I do that? How do I welcome the gospel? How do I walk like Jesus? Well, if you want to walk like Jesus, then be in a group, because there you meet other people who look like Jesus. And you can see how they're a little bit like Jesus, and you can walk like them and follow them. If you want to weather the storms of suffering, you should be in a group, because it's really hard to do that by yourself. But in group, you find the fellowship and the care and the togetherness that allows you to weather those storms. If you want to worship with Holy Spirit joy, being in relationship with other people, when you're not doing that, when you're looking down, when it's hard for get out of bed, and they can just remind you of the grace and mercy of God, being in a group allows you to worship. And then being in a group allows you to learn how to be a witness. We pray and trust that every group at some point in every group meeting pauses and does a little training time on some of the tools we have so we can learn to be witnesses of the gospel wherever God gives us opportunity. And so that's our prayer this year. As we might welcome the gospel, how can we actually do that? It's done in group life. I'll stress Kevin out by this next statement, but I'll say it anyway. I would like everyone to join a group. Like everyone to join a group. And Kevin stressed because we don't have enough spots for group leaders. We don't have enough spots for everyone. But some of you may be group leaders as well. But as you think to live out this, then everyone be in a group so we can welcome the gospel together. And then lastly, let me just come to that last concentric circle. And this is where we really see the church in Thessalonians really living it out. They individually welcomed the gospel. And so if you're here today and you've heard the gospel message, you know of Jesus, but yet you've never made the decision to turn your life over to him, maybe the gospel has come to you, but you've never received it. Wouldn't today you just make a decision? Wouldn't today you just say, I'm putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm going to turn from my sin. I'm going to trust in him for my eternity. Some of you today are ready to make that decision and could do that now. For others of you, you're new. You're in church because you're trying to figure this out. You're trying to understand. And maybe you need to say, I need to be in a group where I can actually ask questions and meet other people who are further along than me so I can figure this out. I need to seek. And still others of you have made that decision but have never been baptized. You know, you have this internal change, but you've never shown it externally. And wouldn't today you just let the gospel ring out through your baptism? So I want to share my faith with other people. That's how I want the gospel to ring out for my life, and I'm going to get baptized so that other people know where I stand with Jesus. So firstly, individually, would we receive the gospel? Then secondly, would we be people that welcome the gospel? Would we just say we want to walk like Jesus? We want to weather the storms. We want to worship. We want to be witnesses. What I so appreciated about this church that we read about is they focused on those things and God took care of the rest. It's like they focused on depth and God gave them breadth. We focus on what he allows us to do and God will take care of the rest. And Harbor, as I look in and see that church in Thessalonians that we've read about, there's so many things that I look out and am thankful for in this audience. So thank for the so many of you who really do live out these things. I have the privilege of seeing it day in and day out. But Harbor, the greatest thing we can do for our ringing out of the gospel is just be these sorts of people. Just run into those things. May we pursue Christ and have depth with him, and we'll let God take care of the rest. And then lastly, as you're doing that, and that's what I appreciated about the video. They each told in their own ways how the gospel, how they had received it, how these truths had worked into their lives, and then how they had begun to live it out. And so if you're this morning wondering, how can I go? How can I live out this mission here at Harbor as an individual? I've already told you one way, join a group. But if you want 3 more on the list that you could go, that you could ring out the gospel yourself, here would be the second way. Just live out the mission statement we have on the wall. everyone walking with someone from disenchantment to discipleship. Find someone who's further along than you and say, can you walk with me? I wanna be more like Jesus. Help me in that. And find someone who's not as far along as you and bring them along. And you might say, I don't know very much. That's okay. I'm sure you can find someone who knows less. Bring them along with you. Make disciples. That is our heart. You can let the gospel ring out by simply walking with someone along in their journey. That's my first way. If you want a second way, give, and give generously. Let the gospel ring out through your generosity. Be a percentage giver, give the full tithe, or give the full tithe, and then be generous on top of that. But let the gospel ring out through your generosity. And then lastly, if you want another way, let the gospel ring out, number three, through your service. We need a whole army of people around here to serve weekly. We need everyone who calls Harbor home to serve monthly. And so you would say, I can go. I can let the gospel ring out through my life as I serve. And may you do that. Harbor, let's let the gospel ring out personally for us in these ways. If you still have your Bibles open, you can go back there. And Paul says one closing phrase. It's a good phrase to end with. He says, therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. The it is the gospel. So he's saying, we don't need to say anything else about the gospel. Here's Paul, one of the greatest evangelists and missionaries ever, and he's saying, in this area, we don't have anything to say. Why is that? It's because the church had already said it all. They had let everyone know of the gospel. And wouldn't that be a wonderful legacy? Think of your family. Someone would show up in your family and say, oh, I don't need to say anything because they've already heard it. Think of your neighborhood, your street, your workplace, your friends, your dorm room, your classroom. Someone shows up there and they say, oh, I don't need to say anything because the gospel has already rung out there. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could say in St. Catharines or in Niagara or in Guinea or in Canada, wouldn't it be wonderful that our legacy would be that the gospel has spread out, that the gospel has rung out? So that's our heart for today. I'm going to invite the team to join me on the stage. We're going to end by singing a song, All Glory Be to Christ. I love this song. The first verse says it this way, if nothing of my efforts stand, no legacy survive. Harbor, we want to let the gospel ring out. But if nothing of our legacy stands, if no efforts survive, here's what, all glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ. We want to welcome the gospel and be those sorts of people. God, we'll trust what you want to do with the rest of that. But God, ultimately, Lord, as our statement says, we want you to receive all the glory because you are worthy. So let's stand and sing that back to the Lord, that he would receive all the glory.
Should nothing of our efforts stand, no. Tomorrow's gain, tell me what is yours.
that be our prayer as we go from this place, that over this next year of ministry together, we would all walk with someone from disenchantment to discipleship, that we would be a people marked by the gospel. Well, there's lunch out there for everyone. It is free, so stick around. Don't go home yet. Let's fellowship together, meet someone new, and then there's even word on the street that there is an ice cream truck out there that is ready to go, and so you'll need to pay for that. But stick around, okay? Stick around and grab some lunch. Harbor, we are sent.
Thank you for joining us today for another encouraging message from God's Word. Our prayer is that you have been built up and spurred on to take the next step in your walk with Jesus Christ. At Harbor, our vision is to glorify God as we share the gospel, make disciples, start churches, and multiply leaders. Our mission is to see everyone in our church walking with someone from disenchantment to discipleship. If you have questions about who Jesus is, would like to be prayed for, or if you would like to talk with one of our pastors, please visit our website at harborfellowship.com. We would love to connect with you. If you have questions about the ministries of Harbor Fellowship Church, would like training in how to share the gospel, or if the Lord is prompting you to support the ministries of Harbor financially, please visit our website, harborfellowship.com. Join us next time as we once again open God's Word together and take the next step from disenchantment to discipleship. This podcast is a production of Harbor Fellowship Church in St. Catharines, Ontario.